and welcome to this episode of Retain FM. My name is Pete Everett, and today I'm delighted to be joined by Mr. Brandon Birkmeyer. Brands on brands on brands on brands on brands. Okay, I'll stop that now. Hey, Brandon, how's it going?
It's good. I mean, repetition is key, right? You want to stick in someone's mind, you have to say something over and over and over again to get noticed. So yes, that the name of my show is Brands on Brands, and my name is Brandon. And yeah, I did that on purpose because you don't want to be forgotten, right? Better to be memorable than not annoying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you're listening to the audio of this, Brandon's wearing a cap that says Brands on Brands on it. So he's even wearing his brand. I'm sure you've got a tattoo of that somewhere.
Oh, I was thinking about it, but you know, I'm trying to set a good example here for the children.
So Brandon and I are good friends. We're in a mastermind together. We've known each other for around about a year now, I think. In fact, yes, because our next call will be our mastermind's first birthday. If I
1 year anniversary, that's right.
Absolutely. That's right. So it's been almost exactly a year. So Brandon, rather than me butchering any more of an intro about you, do you want to give the ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys at home, a sort of brief overview as to who you are and where you come from and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. The girls and boys at home that are listening, sure, yeah. podcast for children.
Didn't I tell you that I'm going to get you to read some children's stories in a minute in your... Yeah. You know, looks American accent.
Yeah, I'll try to keep the cursing to a minimum for sure. So yeah, so I, you know, to relate to your audience here, I came from the ad agency world straight out of college. I spent 18 years at ad agencies working on brands like Coca-Cola, Apple, Walmart, Wells Fargo, a lot of CPG, a lot of retail brands. Helping them in the categories of media planning and brand strategy. That was the world I lived in. And, you know, I can, as I'm sure a lot of you can imagine, I've seen a lot of things in that world. And I enjoyed it. It was a job I thrived at. I'm a big fan of like consumer behavior and figuring out like which media is trending and like what's going to happen in kind of the world of, you know, buying and selling. And at the end of the day, I started to actually think of myself as the product, the service, and said, you know what, like, where's my brand going? What am I doing with myself? And I realized that after 18 years at ad agencies, that I was starting to become a commodity. And I was like, what can I do to make sure that I have my own brand? And that took me on a journey for the past 4 years where I've started to invest in myself, building beyond my resume, because that's really all I had, to building my own reputation. And that's taken me to where I am today, where I have my own, like my own podcast, my own blog, videos, an online school for podcasting, and things that I'm proud of that I can point to and say, you know, I'm starting to become recognized as a leader in my industry. So I hope for like a lot of the agency owners out there that like some of this resonates in that, like, you know, hopefully they're thinking about what can we be doing as an agency owner to build our brand, either as an agency or as an owner. Because that's something I'm passionate about, is helping people figure out their voice and whatever else. But that was my journey to answer your question before I pontificate for too long.
No, that's absolutely fine. And I was honored enough to hop on to a couple of one-to-one calls with you as you were ironing out some of the stuff for your course and ran through some of the processes there that you were putting together. And you know, it really did help me kind of focus down on what my brand should be and where I'm taking it. I'm not saying I've finished it yet. I'm not saying I'm brilliant at it yet, but it's about having that sense of direction with what you're doing.
So we're all kind of works in progress, aren't we? Like at the end of the day, it's never done. And I think that's where a lot of us run into walls, is we start, or we bring in a consultant and we do one evaluation of like, what are our values and what are our statements and what is our look sometimes. And then we don't execute, like we don't do anything with that. We just kind of have a sense of what we maybe stand for more. We get a little closer to identity, but that identity is still hidden in the corner, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And when you're working in the agency world as well, where you're so reliant on doing client work, your own stuff is the first thing to fall off the list when you get a bit busy. And then the consistency goes and we can talk about all that more in a minute. So if we just start very big picture then, so what is a brand? What might a brand be or do for an agency partner?
Yeah. Well, yeah. If I had to think about it in terms of agency owners and agencies, because they know what branding is, they know what brands are. But for me, if I had to break it down more simply, a brand is simply reputation. But I'll even take that a step further and say, like, what is reputation in this context? And for me, it comes from two things. It is opinion / perspective. It's the opinions of people, not you. It's like the outside opinion of other people at scale, right? So what you had to figure out is, how am I informing the opinion of the people that would notice me? And how am I creating that opinion to be out there amongst more people? Because it's great if one person has a good sense of who you are, but it's better if 100 people do, and even better if more than that do. So like, really, I think of it like as gossip, right? Like, you're at a party. It's like, that's Pete over there. Pete is the guy you want to talk to for SEO. Like, how do you get that to happen? And that to me is because you've built a reputation that says you're good at something specific and people are talking about it.
That's great. There's that adage, isn't there, that a brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. And I guess that's exactly what you've just sort of said, what you've put together there.
Yeah, I think people like to say that, and it's easy to say, but then you're like, well, how do I do that? Like, what does that even mean? You know, like, how do you get to a point where people are talking about you? But I think it has to be designed, and it has to be like put out there in a way where you give them something to talk about. You have to get noticed. And, you know, the way I like to think about doing that is, like, you have to be out there consistently putting your perspective and your ideas out there, because if people are just talking about you as a human, they're just literally gossiping, like we were talking about. But if they're talking about your ideas, your approach to something, your experience, and it's a little bit boring too, right? People aren't like, well, Pete's resume is this. You know, it's really like they need a story. They need some kind of experience that's like, Pete has these great ideas about this. He has a different way of thinking about this. So unless you are sharing those ideas, and for me, the way you do that is via creating content, putting out interviews, getting out there and getting on stages if you have the time for that, even putting out white papers or quarterly reports. Being known as the industry is someone that, like, you can refer back to and be like, oh, he had this great nugget of idea or thought or perspective that, like, they want to reshare with someone so they look smart. Like, how do you become that guy is how I like to think about it.
You know, well, there's two things I was going to say here. So the first is that the process of understanding those brand values, that was the session that we worked through when you were putting your course together. And that was really key. I hadn't thought through quite so comprehensively about how that value, those core values to your belief, essentially, how they really do permeate through from this grand kind of idea about, you know, how you put your stake in the ground for one particular thing, but how then that filters through to all of the different touch points and all of the different pieces of content that you create, even in as far as saying it doesn't always have to be the mass public content you create. This even filters through to, like, emails you send people and all those kind of different touch points. And that was something that, you know, you really did help me with a few months ago when we were going through this. And I think it's maybe something that agencies don't necessarily act upon actively every, like, with every communication they put out there, is what I'm trying to say. You know, it really does touch every part of your business every part of your communication side of your business when you do that.
Well, and I think what's funny is one of the tricks to me is, instead of over strategizing it and sitting down on a whiteboard and figuring it out, I think there's some benefit into just forcing yourself to get out there and create content. Because what it means is you have to sit down and every week find something to talk about. And usually it's going to have to be something you actually care to talk about. Otherwise, you're going to get bored of it and it's not sustainable. So, like, for me, in the process of creating content and using my voice, I found my voice. It wasn't the other way around. I didn't write it up, design it, find it, and then start using it. I actually had to get into the habit of using those muscles. So I think anyone out there that has an agency or is an agency owner, finding a way to say, you know, let's just start putting something out there, like it could be a blog, it could be a podcast, could be video content, but let's start saying what we believe. It could be about what's happening with current advertising trends. It could just be your general perspective to a brand or whatever your niche is. You know, what are your thoughts about that? Best practices, what are the questions you get asked all the time? When you start to answer those questions consistently over and over again, you actually can look backwards and start to be like, you know what? There's a theme here. I'm starting to see, I like to say these same things over and over again. There's a trend to this. And it starts to hone in on this core belief that you have. It actually helps you figure out who you are and the things you stand for. And then you can amplify that. You could say, you know what? If this is it, like, let me outline this even better and double down on the things that I talk about and talk about it even more, go deeper into the things people ask even more questions about. So I think there's a process of using those muscles, of getting out there and using your voice over and over again. For me, the podcast is the best way to do that because I don't have the intimidation of using a camera every time if I'm on a podcast. I don't have to sit there and write out an outline. I can just come up with a point that I want to talk about in the most natural way for me to create, which is just speaking. Or I can have a conversation with someone like you, Pete, and say, like, let's talk about these couple ideas and together create new ideas and maybe debate some perspective or come in with ideas on each side. And that process alone moves me further along in being real about sharing my brand and actually like living it.
I love that idea about using it as a muscle. And there's definitely something key there that, you know, when you're starting out, you do stay within your comfort zone. You do exactly that. You start with the questions that you're asked most often and work from there. But actually to say, right, this week, here's a theme. What do we think about this? What would our brand perspective be on X? That could be something from the industry news, as you said, or just from general news, from anything. But the more you get to do that and you see those trends appear, the more the kind of those values of your brand start to shine through and you can identify what they are and resonate with them even more.
And there's a secret to all this, right? Like when you start sharing those things, what's great is your clients start to see that. New clients too, perspective, but like the ones you already have, the questions they would have asked you or the ones that didn't even think to ask, they're like, Pete's already thinking about this. Like he's making me think about something differently. And it helps nurture the clients you already have to be like, I'm so glad we have Pete in our world. I'm so glad we have this agency owner in our world because they are thinking about the questions that I have before I even have them. It puts you out there in a different light that kind of keeps your customers looking up to you as someone to get answers from.
Yeah, that makes total sense. That does make total sense. So where do you, you're talking to an agency owner right now. Let's say I didn't have a podcast that we're just recording a podcast for. Where do we start? What's the best place to go? If you've got a newbie sat in front of you, where do we begin?
Yeah, I mean, I would start by creating in a bunch of different ways. And that could even be you figuring out like you have friends though that are creating content. Can you just be a guest on other people's show? Can you be a guest on other people's podcasts or blogs? Can you just write a few things out, a few ideas out and share them? What I had to do is I would just hit record and get my ideas out of my head, like on any question that I'd ask myself. And I didn't have to share that. Like I could do it 3, 4, 5, 6 times just to see how it came out. And I could throw those away because maybe I'm not comfortable with like how good it was. Like, but doing that, like getting out there and it's like working out in your home instead of working out at the gym, right? Like I'm going to do a few reps here. I'm going to run a couple laps. So I just feel like I'm not going to embarrass myself when I get there. You can do that. But I think you start with just the questions that are on your mind, because otherwise you're going to overthink even where to start. So literally it's like, it can just be topical to what's in your head. I mean, when I started, I literally went down the road of I had these ideas in my head of like what brand, what matters in the branding world. And I had these three ideas. It was like brand truth, brand image, and brand love. And I just kind of invented those words. And I was like, what are the things that matter? And it was like, okay, well, it's like your brand truth, which is like your identity, the things that matter that actually make up who you are, that you come up with. It's your intention. It's the things in your head. There's brand image, which is what everyone else sees on the outside that you put out there. And then there's brand love, which is like the engagement, the interaction between you and those people. But that was just a concept in my head. It was me trying to explain to other people like how I think about like how brands interact in the world. And it was just something that, you know, after like a lot of agency owners, it's not your first day in marketing. So you have things that you've been thinking about that you've been doing for years and years and years. Just getting some of those ideas out of your head in a safe space is step one. So how can you go tomorrow and hit record and create content? And there's a secret to make this easier. Like literally ask a question, like what is a brand, right? Or something like that, or whatever your question would be in your industry. What is search engine optimization, or what is good search engine optimization, or what is the first thing someone can do, or what's the five biggest mistakes? Answer a question or ask a question and then answer it and see where it takes you. And then say, you know what, is there a deeper dive question that would be a follow-up to each of these answers, and answer those questions. And before you know it, you're going to like have unleashed this content beast. And you'd be like, I don't even know how to stop.
Unleash the content beast. There you go. Yeah. That needs to be the title for this show.
Right.
Unleash the content beast with Brandon Birkmeyer. So as you know, as an agency that starts to do that, that starts to actually answer questions, get them out there. And we are talking here kind of above what that platform might be, as you say, whether it's blogging or podcasting or YouTube or whatever. With that stuff, you need to do something that you can be comfortable with, but also that you can be consistent with. I guess that's kind of maybe your advice when it comes to that.
Yeah, I think you kind of have to care. Like, I think what a lot of people do is they assign a blog to someone, or they assign a department to a podcast. Like, it's not coming from somewhere that matters to them. And I think that's part of the problem. You know, if you want to figure out what your position is in an industry, you have to actually stand for something and figure out like what matters to you, what's your core belief. And I'd even start with something like that. I started with that. Like, I'm like, I believe that. And I like fill in the blank, like for a business to survive, like what do I think matters? Right. So I was like, I believe that building a brand that matters is the only way for a business to thrive, period. Right. So like, what is your answer to that? Like the only way your client is going to have success in XYZ, what is that? Like, what is the core to that? And what is it that makes it a little bit different that you guys like that is your bread and butter? Because at the end of the day, if someone's looking at your agency versus another, you could break it down and say, you know, we're kind of all the same. Like we all have these same attributes. We provide similar services, but there might be one or two things that is the reason your clients are successful. Like, what is that one thing? Because that's really all that matters. Talk about that. And if you can lean into that, and as you as an agency owner, like speak that truth, it's going to come across and be more impactful content. And then you can fill in the how-to stuff and whatever else. But that how-to stuff even needs to come from a place of like, there's a core truth and a core belief. And that has to come from the top. It can't just be out, you know, farmed out to a blog writer or someone that you haven't talked to about your beliefs. And that might be the process. Like you're like, I don't have time for this. Well, then sit down with a blog writer and say, here's all the things I want to say, help me say them, and then be a part of that process.
Yeah. The thing that I love about what you've just said there is that it is not niche or service level specific. Anybody can, you know, you're not trying to dictate your brand strategy by the niche or whatever that you serve. You are that framework that you've just given is completely above all of that. It just works. If your specialism is in a particular service area, you know, e-commerce, whatever, SEO, whatever it might be, it works. If it's in wedding websites or dentist websites, it works over there as well. It sits completely above that. And I think that's what makes that such a great starting point. And that was the process you took me through. I've even got a screenshot of the slides that you did on my desktop. And I went with, I took the screenshot and then I edited over them. So I didn't even just rewrite out what you said. I actually took what you've written and put my answers in on your screens, I'm not lying. They're here. I've got two files right here.
I love it.
That I open up and look at whenever I feel that I need that kind of reminder. I guess that's the digital way of now putting a post-it on the wall just above your desk, is to have a screenshot on your desktop. You've not been relegated from the desktop yet.
I love it. I want a post-it note too. I want to live in the physical world over there. Give me a post-it.
Give you a post-it note. But the problem I've got with that is, in order for this lighting thing to work, because I am essentially in a shed here, is that I have two big windows. So like the nearest post-it note's kind of like 4 feet that way.
So, that wouldn't work.
Hence the files on the desktop work just as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's great. I mean, you can create anywhere. You're in a shed, for God's sake. I think people are like, where would I ever even do this stuff? I think creating a space like you have, where you can go and sit down and it's your space to just get these ideas out. It might not be like the office where you have coworkers. You know, it might have to be like a little space in your house or like a studio or something that where you can go to sit down and be like, this is my space to like get my voice out. Like you might have to design that and create a place for that. Otherwise it's not going to work.
I completely agree. And, you know, having, when I started all this podcasting stuff, it did tie into when it wasn't this shed. This has happened since then, but it was when I moved out of our house, working from literally a spare bedroom in our home to an office that I had a few streets away for a year or two. And yeah, having that space, having that freedom, having that ability, it was also having that ability to kind of go to work and then come home again. And, you know, while you were there, the creative work happened and, you know, and then the thing that actually struck me more about it was that I'd go and I'd make some ideas, I'd make some notes. And then it was as I separated myself from that and came home again and got on with making tea for the kids and running kids off to soccer practice and whatever it might be, that actually that was when some of the opinions kind of formed in my head, when I'd kind of dropped the seed of the idea in at work during the day. And then then as I say, as I was thinking about something else, oh yeah, actually that's what I'd say about this, or that's the way I'd approach that. And hey, presto, I'd you know, make a quick note of it, go back to work the following day and record the show. And that would be, that happened so many times. It is, you know, untrue. So just before, in our kind of pre-chat, you know, you mentioned something about how you see the brand as, well, in fact, you mentioned it on the show, you know, how a brand is kind of a business put to work. That's not the way you said it. You might want to rephrase what I've just said. But actually getting yourself out there and then building that brand, seeing how... The point I'm really trying to make is how the next phase of this is basically how a brand becomes a two-way street, so that the conversation works inwards as well as outwards. Do you want to just sort of fill in a little bit on that?
I think where we were going was that like there's a lot of people that start like conceptualizing of a brand, but not a lot of people that then start to implement that as a part of their regular routine. And I think that's where things fall short, right? It's, you know, if you're not actually taking the next step and letting people know about the brand and taking actions that put the brand out there and build the reputation of the brand, then you've created an opinion that you haven't shared with anybody. Like you've created an identity that you haven't shared anybody. You know, it's like you put on your gym, you're like, I'm a gym goer now. You put on your gym clothes and you never left the house. You know, like it's like the identity never got out there. So for me, it's like, how do you actually implement the process of branding? How do you implement the process of building a reputation out in the world for people to actually interact with and engage with it? You know, how do you get there? So for me, you do have to take some action. And I am, I'll say it again and again, like for me, it starts with content. If you're not using your voice, like your words are your brand. So if you're not using your voice and putting your ideas out there, then your brand is simply the resume. Like you are the business version of a corporate employee. You know what I mean? Like you are a cog in the wheel. Like if you want to be the leader of that industry, just like I wanted to be the leader in my business, you have to build your reputation. And don't just be a resume of 5 case studies that are on your website. Get out there and build content that you're updating every, you know, week or month, so that you are telling the world and the algorithms, by the way, like this is what we stand for. So when someone says like best SEO agency, or, you know, like, what should I do to fix this on my website? Your ideas, your solutions start to populate. Or when people start to say like, who do I go to? Like again, Pete's name starts coming out there, and it only gets there by you being the person that has shared the content, put it out there and built awareness, right? Because I'll put it to you like this. I have something I read that really impacted me when I got it started on this journey of my own brand was like this idea of like customers not being loyal, right? I was like, well, you know, you have to give them the reason, but what drives loyalty? Because at the end of the day, I think the stat was like something like 70-80% of like if 80% of brands disappeared tomorrow, consumers wouldn't care. Like they wouldn't care. And that was jarring, right? Because you're like, they'll just choose the other thing. Like they don't like they'll, you know, whatever it is. It's like, so most things are commodities. So when you dove deeper into this, and I learned this in an interview I had with Mark Schaefer, who's like an influencer in the space. He's written a lot of books on marketing. I learned this in our conversations with him. Basically, the thing that he had picked up was that like what drives loyalty? What makes you not that commodity? And the only thing, like the only thing that made a difference that made people come back was you creating what he called a shared, meaningful experience. Now think about that. Like, what does that mean? That means if you want someone to not jump to your competitor, you have to create some kind of shared, meaningful experience. You have to create something that is you and them together working on something that like creates some kind of transformation or gives them some kind of emotional feeling. And like, you had to have solved a real problem in their business and have done that together. It wasn't something they bought off the shelf. That will keep them coming back. And you can see this, like when I worked on Apple, right, for years, the stores they create creates an experience. It's not just like the standard mobile phone store. You walk into these like museums of glass, and these people that aren't customer service agents, they are, you know, Apple geniuses that are there to help you, not make you stand in a line because everyone hates lines. And you sit there and you take a number and you like figure out like, what's wrong? And how do I get more educated at this? They've created an experience where you're looking forward to going into the Apple store. Like you would never before Apple have been like, I'm looking forward to going into, you know, a mobile phone store or a cable store, you know, a cable company, like the like worst customer service ever. They've transitioned into like this best experience. So that's like, I know it's hard as a service-based business to like relate to that, but you have phone calls every day. You have handholding and real conversations with real people every day. How do you turn those into meaningful experiences? I think that helps build the brand in action that we've been talking about.
And I couldn't agree more. And you know what? Really, the first step on that journey is being aware of what you've just said. Because just by being aware of it means that you will intentionally start to maybe just tweak the way that you send this email or the way that you word something in that phone call. It might mean that, you know, you look at your project process and say, okay, so here's the contact points with the client. Or maybe as you know, one of these slightly more negative sides of COVID, you know what? I've actually lost some of those contact points with my client. Because of the way the world went, and we maybe need to reinstigate some of those to start bringing this brand back to life, to start actually creating those meaningful shared experiences. I love that. I love that.
You know what I would have done? You know what the first thing I would have done, like when COVID hit and we all jumped to Zoom, the first thing I would have done as an agency owner was change my Zoom background. I would have invested in what they see every day when they have phone calls with me, because it's no longer in person, professional suit, handshake, and like the dialogue. Like they are having a screen to screen interaction with you. So I would have made sure that like everything they see in my picture looks professional and makes them feel like they trust me in my business. Like that would have been one of the first things, because you've cut my experiences down to this 3x3 screen in front of me. Like, and if that's my experience, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make that feel more professional than anything else they're having calls with. Like, because guess what? You're probably one of many agencies they work with, or many freelancers they work with, or whatever it is. You be the one that doesn't have the blurry screen, the fake like green screen, fuzzy background, or the like cluttered bedroom behind you. Like, be that partner, right? Yeah. So that they're like, it's just, you're creating a feeling and experience. And it's little things like that that I think go a very long way.
I you know, you're dead right. I was involved in a Facebook discussion the other day where, so Zoom When COVID hit, Zoom lifted the time limit on meetings for under three people. So it was always limited to 40 minutes on the free tier, and they lifted it to unlimited for less than three participants. Anyway, of course, it's now 2022. 2 years have gone by since that happened, and Zoom is going to reintroduce that 40-minute limit. And there was this whole discussion about, oh, so what platform are you now switching to? Now Zoom are going to make you pay for having meetings longer than 40 minutes. And I was like, guys, just don't you just see? I started paying for Zoom the month COVID was a thing, because communication is so key to our business. And you know what? I don't care if I'm the one in call, or if I'm the one that's arranging the meeting that says, hey, look, here's the link, because, you know, I know this is just going to work. Here it is. The experience is going to be good. And just like we have the term now, oh, you Google something, we say, hey, let's jump on a Zoom. It's become the verb for you know, for the activity. So I that was exactly, I just can't get, it's like, I think it's $15 a month, and it's like, it's £12 we pay, whatever that works out in American money. So it's not a lot of money, yet it's something that as a brand you can rely on, as a digital agency, you just know it's going to work. We're recording this on Zoom right now. I know some people will say, oh, well, it doesn't have the best audio for podcasting or whatever, but actually it just works. It integrates with everything, and for 12 quid a month, it makes so many problems go away. Yeah. And just gives that professional opinion. Okay, that doesn't necessarily control what's in this screen.
Sure.
At least it means this screen's going to work every time.
But that's one more element of packaging at the end of the day, right? So like the sound matters too. But for me, I record all my podcasts on Zoom, but I do a couple things that actually matter for the branding side of it, which is, yeah, I send it to an editor who makes it sound more professional, and he doesn't care if it's Zoom or not Zoom. He's a good enough editor that he can make it sound just fine, as long as I have my settings set at the right thing. But what I do is I make sure that I have, you know, a professional, like for my podcast, professional cover art that I didn't just design myself, you know, on a creative tool like Canva. I have a professional design it. I went and I got a professional recording done of the intros and the outros with music that was like, you know, that we bought and whatever. So that you have, when you start the show, the first thing you experience is the brand. It's produced music with the right levels and a spokesperson intro thing that kicks off the show. And then when it transitions into me, you've already experienced the brand. And now you're just going through the actual content part of it, which as long as the conversation is good, people are like, fine. And the volume is not at the wrong spot. Like it's actually been professionally leveled. Anyway, there's these little things. I'm like, if you just think about what experience you're creating in the places people run into your brand, you are giving people a way to remember you. And I think that's why I'm a big fan of podcasts, is because if nothing else, like every week or month, I can send my clients, like I could say, hey, here's something from the show that I thought you'd be interested in, or like something happening in the market. Like, how many questions did you get once COVID hit, or COVID strike, when things started to open, things started to close? How many questions and calls are you getting from all of the clients about whatever all the things that relate to their business? Getting ahead of some of that by creating proactive content, like what to do when you're limited on store hours, or how, you know, like all these questions you could be answering in a content format to ease people's minds, you know, that it's like, here's my outlook, here's what to expect, and here's what how that affects your marketing spend or your marketing strategy. Coming proactively with that helps people, like they don't have to ask those questions. You've already answered them. And now they can ask you what is not the fearful questions. They can ask you like, what do we do now? Because you've already set the stage.
And that's definitely where the switch comes. When you become more confident with this kind of thing is when you start being proactive with it, rather than relying on that reactive. It's a bit like taking that comfort blanket away, isn't it? When that moment where you start becoming proactive with all this outreach stuff, and I don't really know how I'm going to finish that sentence, but no. Well, you know what I'm saying.
I do. It doesn't even have to be that difficult. I think people make it like, I've worked for an agency where we're like, okay, what are we going to, let's get our new business thing back on track. So it's like, we set up a bunch of meetings to get a bunch of extra case studies built for our, you know, the newest projects, because the case studies we had were 5 years old, you know, like is typical what happens. But this became like a multi-month process. And then you only do it once every few years. That just seems like the wrong way to stay in touch with your client and what's relevant in the market. So creating something that's like a platform, like a podcast, for me is the easiest way, because really, if you designate 1 hour or 1 day, like 1 hour a week or 1 day a month is probably more realistic. Like, say, this is our content creation day. You can set yourself up, not just for like that month, but for multiple months. Like in a full day, you could easily create 3 months worth of content that is for the podcast and even for the what comes out of the podcast in terms of social media posts or white papers or eBooks or whatever else. You can get all that done in a day if you are focused and you have like a plan. And I think that is what people don't realize, is that this can be something that is built into your agency systems. Like, we have a content creation day once every quarter. And the output of that, I think, is the brand. So you no longer have to say, well, we should be doing more, but we're not. We're really busy as is. And that's fine. You're busy until you're not, right? And then suddenly it's feast or famine and you got to go hunting again, but you haven't dug the well, you know, or whatever, that, whatever all the analogies I'm mixing up are. But essentially, you don't want to have to go looking for clients when it's too late. They should already be waiting and looking for you to actually drive you to want to scale your business instead of just keep it where it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, look, guys, Brandon obviously knows his stuff. He is that metaphorical well that he's just been talking about. And we've only just, stuck a thimble in this time. But Brandon, thank you so much for your time and sharing your expertise with us on the show. Where would it be good if people wanted to reach out to you? Where can they find you online?
Yeah. So I like we started at the top of the show, Brands on Brands on Brands on Brands. My website is brandsonbrands.com. That's where you'll find access to my podcast. If you guys just want free content, that's a good way to find that. I also, if you're ever looking to start a show or want to know more about podcasting in general and content creation, I founded the Podcast Branding Academy at podcastbrandingacademy.com. So wherever you guys want to check that out, wherever you are in your personal journey, I'm happy to be of help or of service. And that's me.
Fantastic. Well, there'll be links to all of that stuff in the show notes. Thank you so much, Brandon, once again for joining us. It's been an absolute delight having you on the show, and we will see you all very soon.